My passion is the fight for freedom. My father fought for him in World War II defending our country. Today, we are no longer fighting with guns. Instead, we are fighting an ideological battle for control of our country by contributing to causes that support your constitutional rights. I am Patriot Mobile.
That was a shooting gallery up there.
I could hear the tremble in his voice.
She suffered a fairly severe beating, and the video is pretty graphic.
Justice for us seems almost impossible.
It's not fun to watch somebody die, and they knew she was in mortal peril.
They have not asked the hard questions. Why was the Capitol intentionally unsecure that day?
The FBI had information about security concerns before January 6th.
They're out for blood, and they're getting it. They appear to be winning.
Were the actions of the Capitol Police out of line? Were there violations in use of force?
Now I describe it as an inside job.
I'm ready to do whatever God calls me.
There's an old Chinese saying my ancestors learned before the Communist Party took over our country. The family is the essential unit of human society, and that you must have honor and defend your family. But it's not always easy to do.
When the regime gives the order, you have to kill.
My heart was pounding. I felt my body bouncing and twisting on the floor. They put numbers on our shoulders, then separated us into rows of even and odd numbers. I was number 9. My brother, he is still in prison. And my sister, she was sent to a labor camp without a trial. But there's one piece of evidence they haven't been able to destroy yet. I left everything behind. If I can't expose what they did to us, then all of our suffering would be for nothing.
Welcome to Chosen Generation with your host, Pastor Greg Young.
But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should shew forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy.
And now, Chosen Generation, where no topic is off limits and everything is filtered through biblical glasses. And now, here's your host, Pastor Greg.
Look, I am for marriage between a man and a woman. I am for life from conception. I am for following the Bible, and I believe that our founders started this nation on biblical principles. I am in support of our military and believe that America should play a role in world security. I believe our Constitution was intended for a moral people and that the Bible contains the only true moral code. I believe we are all born sinners and that God in His grace and mercy sent His Son Jesus Christ to die for our sins, and that if we will confess our sins, He is just and righteous to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I believe salvation is not just accomplished in a little prayer, but that it is found in how that transformation is lived out. Jesus is to be the Lord of our lives, and we should follow biblical precepts. This is not legalism or works, but a life lived out in love and honor towards the one who died for my sins. Faith without works is dead and is no faith at all. I believe that we will fall and that we need to have a repentant heart, and that God will ultimately bring us into perfect action through Jesus Christ. Spirit man perfected and soulish man in progress. I believe that we are not to live in guilt and shame when we fall, but we repent and get up and move closer to Jesus. I believe that if our nation will repent and turn from wickedness, that God will heal our land. I believe that as a Christian, I must occupy until He comes, and that to call evil wicked and to warn about those evil acts is a part of the mandate of Christianity. That to love also means to be willing to take the risk necessary to confront a friend with the truth in hopes that their heart will be turned because their life matters, even if it means, in that moment, they will possibly hate me. It means that I must risk scorn to stand for truth, and that I can never sit silently by while evil attempts to conquer the world. God is my everything, and Jesus is the love of my life. That does not make me weak, but strong, not silent, but bold, and not fearful, but courageous. Therefore, if you are my friend, while we may not fully agree, know that I share what I share because I care. If you strongly disagree with these beliefs, they are not debatable for me, and you can, if you choose, unfriend me. I do not say this in anger, but in love. I wish for you eyes to see and ears to hear that Jesus Christ is the only way to salvation, and that God, not man, gets to decide what is truth, life, and the way. God bless you.
And welcome to the program. Great to have you with me. Thanks so much for being here. I know you have a choice on where you can listen each and every day. And I thank you for keeping it tuned here to Chosen Generation Radio, where no topic is off limits and everything filtered through biblical glasses. I've got a great program lined up for you today. Lots of topics for us to get into today. Bottom of hour number two, Tom McDonough will be with us. The family is the basic foundation for a healthy society, and we'll talk with Tom McDonough about that. Also coming up, Adam Weiss joins us to talk about the media's complicity in the Hamas attack and how their attitudes, behaviors literally encouraged it, and we'll talk about that. And then Carolyn Kane is with me, bottom of the hour. She's running for 7th Congressional District here in Texas. We'll talk about the Texas border. We'll talk about the terrorist threat that exists right here in the United States because of Texas's weak and open southern border, thanks to the Biden administration. And I'm going to say it also thanks to the weak political stance here in Texas as well. Joining me now is a gentleman, vice president. He has been with me before, by the way. He is the vice president of the National Center for Police Defense, and you can find him at nationalcenterforpolicedefense.com. I want to welcome Bert Eiler to the program. Bert, welcome. Good to have you.
Thank you very much, sir. Great to be back. Great to be back.
Well, the situation we want to talk about this morning is one that took place right here in Texas during the BLM riots that happened up in Austin, which is basically San Francisco central of Texas, unfortunately. And there were BLM marchers. There was violence that took place in that city. And there was a shooting that took place regarding a man named Daniel Perry, who shot a man in self-defense that was approaching him, along with others in a crowd of BLM protesters. And he was acquitted on two of the three counts, but now it looks like the governor is going to have to step in. Talk to us about that case and what came out in the trial.
Yeah, so Sergeant Daniel Perry, he was an active duty sergeant. He was just making extra money as an Uber driver. He had just dropped his fare off, and during the riots of 2020, as he was driving through Austin, he made a right-hand turn and went right into the rioters. They started banging on his vehicle, hitting his vehicle, and a gentleman came up that had an AK-47 that basically slung over his chest. As he started walking towards Daniel, he started to lift it up. Daniel kicked in his self-defense. He pulled out his revolver, shot several times, and killed him. He drove off to a safe place. As he was driving off, an individual shot at his vehicle, hit his vehicle three or four times. He went and got into a safe location, called the police, told the police what was going on, and the rest is history. The progressive DA, Garza, charged him with murder. He recently, back in May, was found guilty of murder. We're working on his appeal and his pardon from Governor Abbott. The paperwork has been filed for the appeal and the pardon to the parole board. Now we're just waiting for the parole board to review all documents to send up to Governor Abbott for the pardon. But until that happens, we're in a holding pattern. And Daniel's in prison right now serving 25 years. He was found guilty.
Well, and that's funny. It's not funny. I was trying to do a search. I know that I covered a story up there as well of two individuals that were part of the free speech, because during that same time, there were free speech protests that were being held up there as well, and BLM and Antifa were attacking those. And there was a young man who and a friend of his that were walking away from that and got and were by themselves, and someone ran up and shot one of them in the back of the head and killed him and hit the other one. And I was trying to look that up, but when I type in Texas Patriot, it points me. Well, it does point me to this story, but at any rate, there was violence in Austin at that time, Bert, and there was targeting by BLM and Antifa, and they were out essentially looking for victims.
Correct. And the crazy thing is, the individual that shot at Daniel Perry, they know who he is. They have not yet brought any criminal charges. The DA's office has not brought any criminal charges against that individual. And some of the takes from the trial, the big one was the lead investigator basically through his whole investigation ruled it a justifiable homicide self-defense. The defense, the jury was not allowed to hear that. There was also some jury misconduct in reference to a juror that came and walked into during the deliberations, said, "Hey, I did some research, and it's the job of the defense to prove that they're not guilty, not the prosecution to prove that he was guilty." So that kind of, in my opinion, swayed the jury as well with that misinformation. But they requested a mistrial, which they did not get.
It is the responsibility of prosecution, though, to release all of their detailed evidence, right? Full disclosure.
Correct.
I mean, that is what they are supposed to do. You know, this is the same kind of thing that we've seen with the J6 defendants as well.
Correct. And with the lead prosecutor, he has such expertise. He has been the lead investigator on 68 cases, has solved, I believe, 64 of them. Because he wasn't going to go along with what the DA said, he ended up having to retire. They put him on the Brady list for not cooperating with them. He didn't lie. They just put him on that list.
Wow.
they wanted him to leave out some pictures during the grand jury, which he refused to do. So all this stuff is coming up. But the sad thing is, even, you know, with officers and, you know, Daniel Perry, the process is the punishment. They don't care if they have probable cause or beyond a reasonable doubt. It's the process that gets that person.
Well, and the other piece to this is once they've done this, once this has happened, even if the governor comes in and exonerates him, you know, I mean, he's going to be maligned and he's going to be put on a blacklist. So, you know, I mean, what's his standing with regards to his service? He was active duty, correct?
Yeah, he was discharged because of the guilty plea. He wanted to make it a career. He was a career soldier. You know, the time that he was there, he wasn't allowed to be promoted in any way. He was just kind of stagnant until the verdict. I do have to say the Army supported all the way through. And right. Then, you know, when they were found guilty, there's not much they have to do what they're going to have to do with the discharge. But yeah, his whole life is pretty much ruined. Even if he gets a pardon, what's he going to be able to do? You know, because that was his whole life. I've talked to him numerous times. I still talk to him, and that was his whole life.
Well, I mean, the only thing that he can do now is he ends up, you know, maybe going out on some kind of talk circuit or something along that line. But you know, you kind of have the Kyle Rittenhouse effect, right? I mean, it's the same. Same kind of situation. The difference is that I don't know that Mr. Perry is going to have Kyle Rittenhouse has had some defamation cases that he's been able to you know, take advantage of those situations. Sergeant Perry, I don't think is looking at that same kind of compensation from any source.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I mean, that's something. Hopefully, when Governor Abbott pardons him, that's something he can look into. I'm not sure on that.
Taking this from a law enforcement perspective, that, you know, I mentioned to you that I just found out that about a week or so ago, my 90-year-old aunt was mugged. She was not harmed, but she was in a Walmart, actually, and a couple of black ladies came up to her, and while one of them distracted her, the other one got into her purse and took her phone and took her ID and took a bunch of her stuff. The police are feeling as though they can't go and recover her property because they're afraid of being shot or shot at, or the possibility of that, is my understanding. This is something you and I've talked about before, about police being able to go to certain and perform, whether it's, you know, knocking on a door, serving a warrant or investigations or what have you, that our police officers now are and in many cases justifiably so, concerned about their own physical safety because of the climate, the anti-police climate we live in. Can you talk to that for just a minute?
Yeah, I mean, that is true. You know, with the situation out there, it's more dangerous for law enforcement. I think the biggest issue with a lot of law enforcement officers, and even ones I talked to from my old department, is if they're going to put their life on the line, it's like they need the support. And you have a job to do. Your life is on the line. That's what you signed up for. You have to do your job. And if it's going to that residence, you need to go with, you know, a large group to, you know, do your investigation. Then that's what you have to do. But right now, the criminals have control, and we have to stop it. We have to bring back law and order to our streets. And it's not, you know, it's not going to be necessarily what people want. There's going to be, you know, use of forces, but if you do it based on your policies and procedures and you have the backing of your senior staff and your politicians and everybody, you're fine. But they're not seeing that.
Well, and unfortunately, we don't have a culture right now that sets a foundation for, you know, right and wrong, and basically teaching individuals what the difference is between right and wrong. You know, I'm seeing so much of this kind of assault on police, and then assault on civilians. I can't even tell you how many videos that I've seen too of you know, gangs of young men attacking individuals from behind. We've seen a number of those kinds of assaults that have taken place. And it seems as though we're seeing this lawlessness just carry over.
Yeah, you're correct. And until we, right now, the culture is it's okay to assault people. It's okay to assault law enforcement. It's okay not to listen to authority. And until that culture changes, it's only going to get worse.
It I know that, you know, we're talking about too. I mean, it's got to start in homes. We'll talk a little bit later today about family. It's got to start in schools and you know, where now they're, everything is subjective. It's all feeling based, Bert.
No, I agree. And you're right. It does start with the family. It starts with the schools, the family, with juveniles, teaching them right from wrong and showing that there's consequences for their actions. If there's no consequence for their actions, they're going to keep committing crimes because they're getting away with it. And they think it's okay to do it. And it's not. And we have to get that changed.
And of course, then that comes back to, you know, what the DA is going to do and a lot of these liberal states. What's interesting to me, and as we're nearing our end of our conversation, but what's interesting to me is that I think that, you know, the historic move here is to create so much chaos that then the people begin to cry out for, you know, the intervention and the locking down and what have you. And that's how we end up basically giving away our rights. So lawlessness leads to authoritarianism ultimately. And that's kind of the end game here, I think, for the Marxists that want to take over our country. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, no, that makes perfect sense. I agree with you. Yeah, 100%.
Because our brand of freedom and Bill of Rights and Constitution is also predicated on self-responsibility and an understanding. We can't put enough police officers out on the street to stop all the crime if there's literally no morals left in society.
No, I agree with you. And if law enforcement are going to enforce laws, but your DAs and Commonwealth attorneys, prosecutors aren't going to enforce them as far as having trials and, you know, prosecuting them, there's nothing we can do. You can keep locking them up. It's going to be a revolving door. And that's the biggest thing that needs to be stopped.
Well, and then at the end of the day, the other issue is, and this is where you guys are coming in, is that the police end up always having to act as though when they go into a situation, they're going to be treated like they're the criminal, even though they're there to prevent a crime or to you know, arrest someone that's in the committing of a crime.
Oh, that's correct. I mean, in Austin, Texas, just not Sergeant Perry, we currently have 20 officers in Austin that are being criminally charged. 20 of them are from the riots of 2020. We have three others from other cases. There's a case going on right now with Officer Chris Taylor. He had shot an individual. He's up on murder charges. His trial starts today.
And it's going to be a public trial. Can you tell me anything about that?
They were dealing with an individual that got into a vehicle and started driving towards them. There was word that got to them that he possibly had a firearm. As he was driving towards the officers, he discharged his weapon and killing the individual. And he's up on murder charges. And his trial starts today.
Now, isn't a vehicle aimed at an individual considered to be a weapon?
Yes.
So, and a police officer does have a right to defend themselves, or they don't have that anymore?
Well, they're supposed to, but Austin, Texas, you don't a police officer.
Yeah, and for my audience that might be hearing about Austin, Texas, and not know this background, Austin, Texas was one of the very first cities to defund their police.
Correct. And when we got involved in a lot of these cases, I'm thinking Texas, conservative, everybody carries, but not Austin.
Yeah. Well, and unfortunately that disease has spread into a lot of our bigger cities and DAs in the bigger cities, and so on. So, yeah, if you're down here in Texas, I was talking to some people the other day, and they were saying, well, the reason that the terrorists aren't coming here is because we're all armed and we're going to protect ourselves. And there are a lot of us that are and will. But unfortunately, counting on that and counting on your local law enforcement, you need to know who they are. You need to have elected your sheriff. You need to be engaged in that process, and you need to make sure that you haven't let the woke agenda enter into your area. And you need to support the law enforcement officers that are standing on what the Constitution says and there to protect and defend your rights, which is ultimately the goal here. National Center for Police Defense.com. Bert, thanks for being with me today. I greatly appreciate it.
Thank you very much. And if I could just say one more thing.
Yes.
With Daniel Perry, if anybody would like to also donate, you can go to our Give Send Go account for his legal defense. You can also donate there and on our website.
Okay, Give Send Go, and is it under how's that listed there?
It's under Sergeant Daniel Perry Legal Defense Fund.
Okay, Give Send Go, Sergeant Perry Legal Defense Fund.
Yes, sir.
Thank you, Bert. I greatly appreciate it.
Thank you. Uh-huh. Have a great day.
You too. Bet. Thanks, sir.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right, we're going to take a break. We'll be back with more Chosen Generation Radio coming up right after this. Carolyn Kane joins us. We'll talk about the border coming.
So up next, we have ClanSlate. When you have different things like cancer and different diseases that are autoimmune related, it can really help with inflammation because you're helping clean the body. And ClanSlate is a formula that's made from a natural orthosilic acid that basically is put into a formulation that's naturally occurring that uses different processes from polarization to heating to cooling to different types of catalysts which will go in the body and really help communicate to get rid of those things that don't need to be there. People don't understand why there's so many autoimmune disorders, but our environment's toxic. The land, air, and water have changed. We've been exposed to nuclear war, and the issue is if there's a nuclear bomb or there's pollution or there's war in one country, it actually affects everything up to the stratosphere. So we're all connected, and we've really got to clean things out.
You can pick up your clean slate today at cgrforlife.com. That's cgrforlife.com. Pick up your clean slate today.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, CEO of MyPillow. Retailers, shopping channels, and now even banks have tried to cancel myself and MyPillow. Well, during these times, your support has meant everything to us. So my employees and I want to personally thank each and every one of you by passing the savings directly on to you. We're selling the best products ever for the best prices ever. For example, we have my standard size MyPillow, regularly $69.98, now only $19.98 with your promo code. Or you can get custom fit with my premium queen size MyPillows, regularly $79.98, now just $29.98. Or my king size regular $89.98, now just $34.98. So go to MyPillow.com now and use the promo code on your screen, or call the 1-800 number below to receive this exclusive offer. If you do it right now, I'm going to include a free gift with your purchase. Thank you, and God bless.
Hi, I'm Tim Sheff, a certified natural health practitioner of over 40 years. I want to introduce you to a product that changed my life. The product's called Vibe, available at cgrwellness.com. I thought I was on a good nutritional program before I discovered Vibe. I was taking the traditional vitamin and mineral tablets, wasn't really feeling any difference. So I tried Vibe. Vibe is an all-in-one vitamin and mineral supplement. It's a liquid multivitamin. It's cold-pressed, whole-food sourced, non-radiated, gluten-free, and has no pasteurization. Vibe is like fresh juicing without all the work. It supports four areas of the body: cardiovascular health, immune health, anti-aging, and healthy cell replication. Vibe is available in a 32-ounce bottle for home use or a very handy 1-ounce travel packet for life on the go. The first time I tried Vibe, I had more energy in about 20 minutes. I started thinking clear. Even believe I slept better. Get yours today at cgrwellness.com. Coupon code ChosenGenRadio at checkout and receive $20 off your first order of $50 or more. That's cgrwellness.com. Coupon code ChosenGenRadio. Get yours today.
These statements have not been evaluated by the U.S. Food and Drug Administration. Any of the products do not treat, reduce, cure, or prevent disease.
My passion is the fight for freedom. My father fought for World War II defending our country. Today, we are no longer fighting with guns. Instead, we are fighting an ideological battle for control of our country by contributing to causes that support your constitutional rights. I am Patriot Mobile.
You can support Chosen Generation and make a tax-deductible donation by visiting www.chosengenerationradio.com. And now, back to Chosen Generation with Pastor Greg.
And welcome back to Chosen Generation Radio, where no topic's off limits and everything is filtered through biblical glasses. All right, let's see what we got going on here. Okay. All right. And there she is.
Good morning.
Good morning, Carolyn. How are you?
I'm doing well, Pastor Greg. How are you?
I'm good. I'm good. Welcome aboard.
Thank you.
Well, we're here to talk about the obviously what's going on and continues to go on in Israel, but we've got very serious concerns here about our own terrorist issues because of the open border that continues to be, I think, a nightmare.
And I think it's by design. I don't think there's anything accidental about this. I think that the second that Biden stepped into that office, that his intent was to leave that border open and allow these military-age men to cross our border. And we can only speculate in the coming days what that means for us.
Well, you know, I'm involved in monitoring what's going on over there, and I've had David Wormser live from over there in Tel Aviv. Actually, we did a broadcast the day of the attack. I had him for 2.5 hours, and towards the very end, he actually had to take leave and run downstairs into the bomb shelter as I was beginning the time of prayer. But you know, it's ridiculous. You're listening to them. This is Blinken's statement. We don't know the status of the 10 American hostages. We believe some significant number. We're not going to hesitate to take military action if the conflict expands. There's a possibility of escalation. We expect a likelihood of escalation by Iran. While he is saying this, Iran is leading and causing attacks on our bases and our people in Iraq. While he's saying, well, we don't know if Iran is really, you know, doing anything or if Iran is really behind this, and then at the very same moment, our bases in Syria and in Iraq are being attacked, and it's directly related to Iranian intervention.
Yeah. And I think that was like Thursday night. I was, you know, there was a video coming up of a base here and a video coming up of a base there and an embassy here. And we are being attacked throughout the Middle East, both our embassies and our military bases. And, yeah. I can barely keep up. They downplay the significance, right? I mean, mainstream media isn't putting the citizens on notice of really how much hatred there is toward our country.
Well, no. And I've been asking, you know, why is it? I understand, you know, people argue about, you know, free speech and so on. But when you've got someone that's marching for a terrorist organization that has declared death to America, I'm in my mind, that's like crying fire in a theater. I mean, these are the kinds of individuals that would walk down a street and be hiding someone, you know, potentially, and maybe they don't know they're there, but that's strapped with explosives. And now you end up, I mean, this is the kind of stuff that happens in other parts of the world. We haven't seen one of those yet here. But it's yeah, you hear me.
Yes, you, operable word. Yeah, I know. And we've set it up, right? It seems like this is a decades long battle that is coming to fruition and really just accelerated tenfold in the last 3.5 years. Leaving this border open, we've got child trafficking, and I guess that's a topic of another show that we'll probably need to do. But these are military-age men. There's plenty of videos, live videos, showing these guys entering busloads to their destinations, which appear to be New York City, San Antonio, Denver, Chicago. I'm missing one. But these are, you know, New York City is York, really yeah. what I worry about. There's already so much tension there. That's just going to be super easy for them to pull off having those men, I'm not going to call them gentlemen, those men activated that have come through our borders that apparently are on the payroll of the United Nations. Had you heard that?
No, I don't think so, but it may have crossed through. What I was just looking for was Laura Loomer put out an alert, suggesting that the Hamas, communication boards were saying that they're getting ready to do an attack in Chicago.
Yeah. Well, I know that is one of the destinations. I saw it was probably a 10-minute video of a stream of men coming to be loaded onto buses, and they were to holler their destination. And so according to their destination, right. They got on that bus and departed for that city. And Chicago is one of them. There were, you know, just in this, you know, few minutes that I watched, dozens and dozens of men heading to Chicago from our southern border.
Yeah. Well, there was another piece that I was thinking of there that you're talking about, you know, all there were over 300. That's what I was thinking of. There was close to 300 in March that CBP said that were on the terrorist watch list that they said have been released. This was a March report. Now here's what's crazy, right? So now they come out just about 3 days after the Hamas attack, and now they say, oh, well, no, now there's only 159. What happened to the other 130 that were there in March that they knew were there? Where did those go? And then, oh, by the way, while we're telling you that, let's also let you know that there's something like just at the top of the list from Afghanistan, like 6,200. And we already know about the no-go zones in Dearborn, Michigan. We already know about all of the Somali rapes that are happening in Minnesota that they're covering up. We already Right. know about the youth boot camp that they discovered in New Mexico. I mean, people act like this is, well, the media tries to make us think this Yes. is all brand new. But a lot of people have Ready gone for to it. Sleep. Yeah, a lot of people have gone to sleep.
I keep hearing about all of the atrocities in Israel. And yes, you know, those things are happening, but they're happening here.
Yeah.
Those things are happening here. It's getting zero media attention because it doesn't fit the narrative, which is what happened to that number. Why, right? Why did it go from to 150. Those people didn't fit the narrative. And so we are just being fed garbage after garbage. And we don't have a true picture of A, the danger that we're in as a nation, and B, what's going on globally and what the temperature is on geopolitics. We are in hot water across the world, not just, you know, at our bases and our embassies on the other side of the sea. We're in hot water here. And nobody's talking about the national security aspect of this. The Biden administration is just guilty of treason in so many ways. And there just isn't a pussyfoot way to put it, right? The man has committed treason against the nation. The failure to secure our borders is in the Constitution, and it's his duty to do that. And he's failed us. He's failed his oath of office intentionally, I believe, but regardless, it's treason. And here he is, you know, flying across the world representing America. It's a sad day. It's embarrassing for America.
Well, and Carolyn, when he's flying over there representing us, he's not flying over there, it appears, representing our interests. He's flying over there representing the interests of China and Iran, because he's certainly not standing with our ally Israel when it comes to these issues at all. And, you know, what about the fact that you had Robert Kelly, you had Ariane Tabatabai, and you had Mihir Bhatar, three key individuals with direct ties to Tehran that are in our national intelligence apparatus, and everybody talks about how did Israel get hit? How could this possibly have happened? Well, gee, I wonder if our national intelligence leadership is in direct correspondence with Tehran. You know, everybody forgets about Eric Swalwell, and I'm so glad that, you know, one of the things McCarthy did do that was good was remove Swalwell from intelligence. But, you know, it was proven Swalwell sleeping with a Chinese spy whore, which, by the way, that's why I'm permanently banned from Twitter, and still to this day banned from Twitter for calling Eric Swalwell a Chinese spy whore. But Reuters came Reuters came out 2 months after I put that tweet out with a report that China, the CCP, was using an NSA spy program to spy on us. Now, I wonder where they got that from.
Of course. Of course. Yeah, we're infiltrated. I mean, it makes me wonder how many double agents we really have in Washington, D.C. And I can guarantee you, I would say more than half work for other nations.
Including the guy at the top who sold out for China. But I think we can't. I think we also, as we talk about that, we can't discount the influence of an Obama administration that never stopped. That's 6 weeks down or six blocks down the road from the White House, and continued to run a shadow government, a treasonous shadow government during the Trump administration, and continues to pull the strings today.
That's right. Absolutely. And he began the funding of this war in the Middle East. We have always funded all sides of the war, right? And it's so clear now. Obama's began sending money over to Palestine 2012, 2013, just hordes and hordes of money to Palestine.
Yep.
Now look at Biden, $6 billion to Iran. Now there's this question of whether they've gotten it, whether it's really in this escrow in Qatar. I mean, does it matter? They know that the money's on the way, and we funded this.
And if it's in Qatar, let's be clear, because Qatar is actually providing cover for the Hamas leadership. That's where Hamas's leadership resides, is in Qatar. And so the six
so we
billion
sent the money to Hamas. And we, directly. Yeah,
exactly. That's exactly what we did. We it didn't need to go to Iran, because it was intended to go to Hamas to carry on the war against Israel.
I did not know that, Pastor Greg. I did not know that.
So, if we wanted to cut the head off the snake, we need to go to Qatar and we need to take off the head of the snake. That's what actually needs to happen.
I had no idea. So, you know, blinders are completely off at this point. We have got to stop funding wars. We've got to stop funding countries. We've got $33.6 trillion in debt, and it's going up $1 trillion a month. $2.6 trillion is going out. I think I looked at this number the other day. $2.6 trillion is going out to other nations annually. I mean, start doing the math. But now it's costing $1 trillion a year to keep up with the interest on our national debt. It's an impossible scenario. We can't afford to, give all of this money to other nations while Americans are struggling, and we've got a national security crisis at our border. So we're funding and protecting every border in the world except for our own.
Well, and a lot of those funds, the other part is as you said, we're funding both sides. A lot of those funds are finding their ways directly into the hands of our enemies, like the Iranian situation or the CCP or Russia. Look, you know, everybody, I whatever you think about the Ukraine war, okay, at the end of the day, Russia's no friend and Putin's no friend of the United States of America. He's not. He has his own goal, and he's aligned himself with Xi, which we knew they were aligned. They have the same ideology, okay?
Right.
And so you've got Putin and Xi and Iran, which are kind of the somewhat of the new axis, if you want to consider it that way. And for us to continue to be providing funding that is assisting our enemies, you're right. It's absolutely crazy. While we have depleted our own ability to be able to produce, we've lost our ability to manage our minerals. We no longer are part of that essential mineral because we've let the green energy people. I'm sure that that's part of the, you know, your concern here in Texas, as is mine, right? Because the only reason we had the horrific issues we had with the freeze is that our governor sold us out to the green energy people, and our power grid froze.
That's right. No, I know. They're coming at us from all sides. I don't know where I was going with that train of thought, so
sorry.
I apologize.
No, that was my fault. Carolyn, it does, you know, there's so many bites of the apple that are happening right now, if you will. You were talking about the huge amount of money we're giving to foreign entities and how our own people are suffering as a net result of us providing welfare to the rest of the world.
Amen. And $15.5 trillion has been depleted from the middle class since Biden took office. I mean, that is by design. The entire design of this neo-Marxist agenda is to crush the middle class. The United States is the last beacon of hope for the world. You know, we have been a free market economy and hanging on to that by a thread, and that's just about gone. We've destroyed small businesses. They have not come back since COVID, and we're about to have a real estate crash, the likes that nobody has ever seen. It's a bloodbath, and that's what I do for a living. You know, I manage apartment communities. And so I handhold with investors who are looking at deals, and we walk through it. And for a long time, deals didn't cross my desk because prices were really, really high and sellers had no desire to sell. But at this point, they're crushing us with taxes and insurance. And now interest rates, people had adjustable rate mortgages and they're getting, pounced on. It's a bloodbath. And so deals are coming across my desk almost constantly now. People that are about to go into foreclosure or have special servicing. We are about to see a bloodbath. Real estate always takes the lead, right? So you got to watch real estate because whatever real estate does, so goes the rest of the world. And it's about to be a bloodbath, which means our bloodbath is right behind it.
Well, this is, my wife and I were watching something the other day and I was talking to her about this. I mean, what happened in 2008 is just simply repeating itself because you had people who saw that. You had a lot of people that made a lot of money off of those, mutual funds and the bundling. And so what happened? Well, this time around, you had more people get involved in it, but they thought they were going to be smart. And some of them are going to come out of this. That's the whole problem. Yeah. Some of them are going to come out of this situation, but there's a whole lot of other people that are going to get hurt in this once again. And the scam is being played, as you said, I think, to an even greater degree. And you know better than I, being in the middle of it.
Yeah. There are even experienced investors that I'm working with that made a mistake 3 years ago. I mean, people that had been investing in apartment communities for 15, 20 years and just got so quick doing deals and took an adjustable rate mortgage in early 2020. We're going to do that. We're going to refi and everything's going to be hunky-dory. Well, guess all of those people are getting caught with their pants down, and especially the newbies, right? Not very many experienced investors made that mistake. But there's a lot of California money that made money selling their real estate in California and said, let's play apartments in Texas, that really didn't understand what was going on at the time and paid way too much. In 2020, prices were hyperinflated. It didn't make any sense to me. It still doesn't make any sense to me. Why were the prices hyperinflated? But a lot of people from California didn't understand what that means in Texas in terms of what a Texas dollar buys in terms of real estate, and really overpaid. And so you've got kind of a collision of two different storms that are happening simultaneously because of taxes and insurance. Our insurance has quadrupled in Texas in the last 4 years.
Well, and they've lied to us about property tax cuts. They pretended as though they reduced the property taxes because they said, well, look, we're not going to take as much out for the state. Well, but that didn't change anything, because all they did was the state was funneling it through to the local municipalities anyways, and they just gave the municipalities the authority to go in and change the rate back up again and hike it up even higher.
I know. And while I'm on this, if you're in Texas, guys, I want you really to read through these amendments that are going to be on our ballot. It's important that you vote in November because we have a bunch of constitutional amendments. And if it says anything about land or water, you need to vote no. We need to not give anybody any more authority over our water and over our land, because they're wanting to. It's called reclamation, land reclamation. Who's going to reclaim it? They're going to reclaim it from you and your property?
Yeah.
And we're going to give them more rights over our water so that they can tell us when and where we can use it and on what. Yeah, no. Everybody has got to say no and not be trusting. You've got to read through these things and think like a bad guy, because that's the machine that we're up against. We may have a conservative, actually we have a quasi-conservative legislature with a bunch of rhinos.
Yeah.
So be very, very cautious and be pessimistic. When you're reading through these things, what could be the worst case scenario? I want you to go with that. And, you know, I don't like constitutional amendments, because all you're doing is muddying the water. Our Constitution, the U.S. Constitution, they're beautifully written documents. And all we do is muddy the water with a lot of these amendments. And I'm not saying all of them, but a lot of them.
Well, and the issue with regards to the water is they want all that water because they're bringing in all of this green energy and solar. And so, you know, we've got that issue going up. I mean, just down the road from me, a big solar operation bought up a bunch of plots, and they're making plans to put in a big solar operation out here in the country where I am. And guess who's going to get all that energy, Carolyn?
Well, and wait for your first hailstorm. You know, solar has been on the table. My father worked on solar energy in the 90s for the Carter administration, Department of Energy. That's how long we have been fooling around with solar energy. And if it was going to launch, it would have launched 50 years ago. And we're still fooling around with it. It's very costly to maintain. You've got one hailstorm that comes through, and then you've got millions and billions of dollars worth of damage that needs to be taken care of. And you're filling up a landfill with a bunch of solar panels that are now worthless. And people don't think about those things.
Oh, yeah. Well, and the runoff, the water runoff, because they've got to keep the panels clean. And where's that water going to go? Into your ground? And what's the long-term impact of that? And they chose to do that out here in the country, and guess where that energy is going? It's going to San Antonio. San Antonio is where they're going to pump the energy. It's not helping our local community. It's not helping our county or any of the counties around us. It's going directly to San Antonio.
And do they have a battery that stores the excess energy? No. And that's a big problem as well. 50 years and we haven't figured that out, how to store the energy, because we can have a few overcast days and we don't get anything from the solar. So we're switched back over to the oil and gas.
Except that we've cut oil and gas by 60%. So now we don't have the oil and gas. So then when we have one of these big issues and then we get a governor that says, oh, it's ERC. It's not ERC. It's you, Governor Abbott. You're the one with the policy. You're the one that sold us out to green energy. That's the problem.
That is the problem. I agree.
And the people trusted you, and so they went ahead and they voted these things in. All right, CarolynCaneForCongress.com is the website. CarolynCaneForCongress.com. Who's your opponent?
Lizzie Fletcher is the incumbent. She is a radical left-wing Democrat, Marxist Democrat. She likes she pushes the gender mutilation of our children. She's all for freedom for the doctors rather than freedom for the children and the parents. And she said this, I have it on video. It's abhorrent. Very disconnected with what's really going on. I think, you know, that is typical of today's Democrat. They, you know, everything is inverted. When she explains a bill, it's the opposite of what the bill says. And then she says, you know, I voted for it because, you know, it says all these wonderful things for you. When in actuality, it's the Green New Deal and it's really bad for America and Americans. So we've got to get her out of there. And yeah. I am not the first person to attempt this. Wesley Hunt ran against her in 2020. Johnny Teague in 2022, both fine, upstanding men. Johnny Teague is a pastor like yourself. So hopefully, you know, I can get this done, make it back into a Republican district. It used to be a Republican district.
Yeah, well, and there's a lot of that going on in Texas where we're seeing that. And then we have Republicans like Tony Gonzalez, quote unquote Republicans. Same story. Well, Caroline, I wish you the very best on this. Final minutes. How do we solve what would you suggest that needs to happen at our border?
Well, I guess Texas is building a wall. Finally, you know, I'm looking at my watch going, yeah. You know, we're 3.5 years in. We just spent $5.4 billion on floaty balls. And now all of a sudden we're building a wall. I wish I understood the motive behind it. What has changed? I'm grateful. Right. I'm grateful. But then we've got, you know, three other states off to our left that don't have a wall.
Right.
So this is not, I mean, we're going to slow the problem, but it doesn't solve the problem. And it's not inherently, it is the job of the federal government to secure our borders and protect us from foreign invaders. So Texas has, you know, stood up and stood in the gap at least a little bit and now quite a bit more. But this is a federal issue. And, you know, the way we get our country back is pulling back power from the federal government, right? Shrinking its size, which is going to be my job, right? I want to start cutting off tentacles as soon as I get there. And at the same time, have the state legislatures rise up and take that power back. The federal government should have six duties, and one of them is ensuring that our borders are secure. So I want to go back to basics. I want to go back to a constitutional form of government where our representatives actually work for the people. And not making backroom deals with each other that line their own pockets. And that's what's been happening. I don't think it was ever any more clear than it is right now what's really happening in Washington, D.C., and how long it's been going on.
No doubt.
I don't want to spend years up there. I'm thinking one, perhaps two terms, so 2 or 4 years, get it done, and hand the keys off to the next guy or gal.
There you go. Carolyn, thank you so very much. Again, Carolyn Kane for Congress, K-A-N-E. Carolyn Kane for Congress, FOR.com. And you can get more information about Carolyn, find out what she's doing, and if you feel led to do so, offer her your support. Carolyn, thanks for that. And thanks for the insight, by the way, on the real estate issue. That is a huge thing, that bubble that's coming. And there are a lot of people that are in danger right now of significant financial harm. And I appreciate you bringing that to our attention as well.
Got it. Absolutely. Hope Thank to you. Talk to you again soon.
You got it. Thanks.
Thank you
take
for
care,
having
dear.
Me, Pastor Greg.
Yes, God bless you. All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right. We're going to take our break. We'll be back with more Chosen Generation Radio coming up.